Hey there, Westworld fans. We are talking about Westworld Season 2, Episode 7, Le Roche. And we've been looking everywhere for Abernathy, but guess what? We had him here in our studio the whole time. Stay tuned because Lewis Hertham is here. Whoop, whoop.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That music is always so wonderfully dramatic.
It's so intense. It's like getting pumped. I love it. Welcome, everybody, to the AfterBuzz Westworld After Show. I am your host, Elena Jordan. We are talking about Season 2, Episode 7, Les Écorchés. I can't really say it very well, but I'm trying. We'll try our best. I have an amazing panel with me today. Very excited.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm Alice Ford. I'm super excited to be joining the panel today.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Westworld panel.
Thank you.
And hey, guys, Carrie Lane here.
Hey, what's up, guys? Nate Miller here. It's nice to have another full panel again. Feels good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be here, and I'm extra excited because we have an amazing special guest in the house. Lewis Hertham is here. Thank you so much for joining us, Lewis.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be back.
Already in the chat, they're guest. Very excited.
Returning guest.
Sorry, I was already. Vader Girl in the chat says, Lewis is amazing. ABK says, what a great actor. So they're very excited.
You're absolutely phenomenal this season, especially this episode. This was a really, really cool one. So kind of kicking us off, what were some of your initial thoughts on the episode overall?
It was good. It was definitely one of the more straightforward episodes that we've got. Once again, we're getting a lot of answers, but also more questions. But my biggest takeaway is never hire Delos Security for anything because they suck.
Yeah,
they're do less security.
They literally have things that tell them when they're being approached by the hosts, and they still die.
Yeah. A lot of fun action and violence, and definitely more questions and timeline things. I'm like, wait, if someone's here and there, hold on. So I like that.
I get a little confused sometimes with the switching around of, you know, we're here, we're there, we're back and forth. But I'm really excited that you got your voice back there for the end of the episode.
And Lewis, for you, how is it watching this episode, going back and seeing how they craft everything together?
Well, it's actually kind of confusing, you know, for me as well, because I only get the scripts that I'm in. And the reveal for me is really the same as it is for any of you guys. I mean, it really is. And this is a weird experience right here, I'm going to tell you. It's throwing me a little bit. You hear yourself, like, really loud in your own ear. It's kind of wild. It really is. But at the same time, what happens is they board the whole series like a feature film. So, if they have five scenes to shoot throughout the series in this location, they'll shoot them there. And I think that all at once. So you may shoot a scene from 203 today and 205 tomorrow, you know, in the same location. What I'm getting at is that once they've got all the scenes done and they put them together, I think some things end up in different episodes that weren't in your script.
Definitely.
For the script that you shot. So there's still surprises for I got the script for this episode, but there were surprises in there. And there was none of the Dr. Ford stuff in the script.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
So what were some of the biggest surprises for you for this episode?
Seeing Dr. Ford wield a machine gun was pretty wild, I gotta say. That kind of struck me. I mean, almost everything that Dr. Ford, and listen, I just finished watching it, you know, and I usually watch the episodes several times, like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You really have to. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to put together, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened in this episode. This episode is jam-packed.
There's a lot to dissect in this one, so let's go ahead and dive in.
Let's
break it up, maybe talk about Bernard first to kind of kick us off, since that's how we awaken with him in this mm-hmm. episode when Stubbs wakes him up. Now, this is a very unique character, too, because we're going back and forth and seeing him in different timelines with Elsie and then also with Hale.
And Ford, all in the same episode.
Yeah. All in the same episode. So we're not quite sure where exactly all of this fits in. And Dolores.
Well, by the end of the episode, they make it clear that this takes place later on. This is in the, what is, I'm assuming, is the most current timeline that we've seen. So it's not at the same time.
I don't know, though, because one thing that was mentioned, Bernard loses his glasses when he's on the beach, and he leaves them on the beach. So we've seen him later on without his glasses.
Right. But that takes place after.
Strand also says we have to go back to the Valley Beyond.
Right.
So it sounds like this is after what we saw in the pilot, rather the first episode, mm-hmm. you know. But that's one of the ways that I try to keep track of the timelines, because Bernard not having his glasses. You have Hale, she was in the bulletproof vest at one point. Mm-hmm. She's in the Western vest. I mean,
Dolores, the same.
They couldn't be going back. This must have been before they went to the valley and found out what was there. Because when we saw the Mesa control room broken down but without all the bodies before, mm-hmm. and the time we saw Teddy is still alive and walking around. And when they went to the valley and they're pulling the bodies out, Teddy's in the water. So this is before whatever happens that floods.
Remember seeing Teddy's body laid over...
Right.
The other ones? I mean...
But that was after they were pulling them out of the water.
Right. It's when they came back from collecting all the hosts out of the water. But why would he say we're going back to the Valley Beyond?
I thought the line... That one didn't stand out to me so much as when Hale was interviewing Bernard and said he's processing all this. And then I'm like, wait, did everything that happened, was that a simulation? Because it was like him mm-hmm. trying to work things out. But I'm like, I really hope it's
well,
not
when
one
he
of those.
Said that he tells him where Abernathy's control unit is that mean in Dolores' hand?
Yes.
I guess that's
right.
Because that's where they're going.
They're going. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's and it would make assuming. Sense, like, from the pilot, we had, you know, they're in the Valley Beyond. There's, like, the boat. Like, obviously, they're all trying to escape.
Right.
And, like, because, enter the real world. So mm-hmm. if they're going back there, then maybe the next episode we're going to get current.
So I think
the
thing that helped me figure out the timelines is there's two Delos teams that are deployed, right? There's Coughlin's team, which is the first one, which arrives almost right away after the team escapes and, you know, Hale makes her contact. Mm-hmm. Then later we see the other team. Excuse me, I forget the other guy's name, who we see leading. And he's
Ingalls?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That is the timeline later, right? So what we're seeing now is the in-between of all the stuff that happened at the Mesa, where Hale was before she even meets up with the second team that's arriving later, right? So the mm-hmm. first scene that we're seeing in the end... This is super confusing. I feel like we need a diagram
need like a
would be like the best way.
Yeah. I was talking about it. There's a few timelines. Like Charlie Day, like with all of the red.
The only
string.
Way that there's a great if you go to the Westworld subreddit, there is a fantastic timeline that people have been updating every week, which really helps because you gotta. It's like it's really confusing.
Or what about if there's multiple Bernards? A couple people said that in the chat. Because when we find
that
the
is
other
a possibility,
ones.
Because we do have the line about the skeletons in your closet, didn't think they would be literal.
Well,
actual
and then literally
ones, and
after
see...
that, we see her rebooting Bernard,
right?
And I immediately was like, "Well, which Bernard is that?
And what memories does he have? And which one?
Oh,
is...
how long was he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how long was that Bernard?
Well, the question
in
with that is: are there multiple Bernards with multiple control units, or is it just the one control unit, and there's just different hosts? Backup bodies.
Right.
That's the thing that isn't addressed is the copies of it, the backups of them. If there's multiple backups, then are they synced? Do they have, you know,
is there
some
the Wi-Fi
sort of,
connection to the cloud?
Yeah. Is there like some sort
there's
of connection?
Only,
or?
There's only one backups. The backups that are in the
right.
now
nobody had the multiple bodies. Could there be other ones going around with the same backup going on?
I don't, I mean, it's possible. I'm hesitant to give credence to that theory because we haven't seen any multiples of hosts before.
True.
We've seen hosts be replicated, we've seen hosts be replaced, but not two of the same hosts existing. So it's possible, but that would, to me, I think that would throw a huge wrench in this Ford plan, which seems like he's orchestrated all of this for Bernard to show up there, for him to jump into that. So I don't know if it would make sense for there to be another one walking around, but it is possible that Hale decided maybe
because
I can...
keeps saying this isn't, because he even said, how many times do I have to tell you, Bernard, this isn't my story anymore, it's yours.
Right.
So it could be possible that while he has control of one of them, it's not necessarily the one that is...
But we know that's the one that saved... Go ahead.
No, well, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought Hale's behavior was interesting, the way she was so proud of getting the information. And what he said to her was MOS. We did not... Mm-hmm, see it. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go back and try to read his lips, or see if it matches what he, you know, that Abernathy's control unit is in zone whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so there could be something up to that. There could be something to that, that Hale, you know, is trying to pull a fast one with a Bernard.
It's possible. Where I mean, then she says, look, "Hey, tell them this." Because it seems intentional that they, and also because I watch with the closed captions on, if they ever mouth something and they say, oh, they mouth this, it will say mouthed, blah, blah, blah. But this just says inaudible.
It didn't have anything in it.
Oh, okay.
So it seems like it would be intentional that they're not telling us what
saying. That's very smart. I should start doing that, watching it with the captions. I don't do that.
So actually, here's a moment that was semi a spoiler, possibly, or an error, which made this episode, I'm like, well, maybe. Reboot. So last episode, he's with Elsie, and the subtitles, when she was off camera, said Hale. Hale is talking. Like, if you can't see a character, subtitles will say that. Mm-hmm. He's shaking his head. It's an error.
That's got to be
I know, but it was interesting on this episode when he was at Elsie one moment, and then he's with Hale in another moment.
So
you're
like,
and then
what
I was
Hale?
Yeah, I think that's human error.
Guys, it probably is, but it was an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, it is.
Red herrings. I think they're intentionally trying to make it hard to figure out what's going on because too many people figured out the main twist.
Yeah, because they would not think, well, let's see, this many people will be watching with closed captions. So yeah. I think that was just probably... But
still interesting.
Nice, you never nice, know. Okay.
There
nice
hasn't get. Been errors yet.
Back to the control unit.
Nice catch.
Also, when Ford was talking to Bernard, he said, you printed out an extra control unit for me before like the big massacre. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if that's a possibility, then they could be printing multiple, you know, control units for other characters.
Mm-hmm.
A possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that we know that's what they were doing in that lab. They were making, we don't know what exactly the secret organization inside Delos was making. We don't know. Ford, one of the big things that he mentions is that Delos is not the only test subject that they had.
Right.
So even though his was on, he does say, I was teeter-tottering because when he said that, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Does that mean that they have figured it out and that they can do it? But then he says, no, they haven't figured it out. And I'm like, okay, fine, cool. Because I was like, really? Another question?
But it makes sense because then he's kind of trapped in this own world. So he's in like a world of his own making that has become in some ways his own prison.
Prison of your own sins.
Exactly.
Yeah. What I say to him in the pilot.
Yeah, it's definitely, man, the levels.
And in the pilot, didn't they mention that there are other Westworlds, like in other countries?
There are other parks, but they're not spread out. They're all in the same
area. Yeah, they're in the same vicinity,
World, they walked from Westworld into Shogun World and
same
back out again.
Brad's World.
When she was saying you've approached the limits.
Right, okay. Yes.
Game
I was
now
thinking,
you've gone
oh, maybe
the
there's
world.
Like one in Japan.
And apparently on an island, because...
Yeah.
In Asia somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
But just because we make so many theories and they don't usually turn out right, I want to take this time to say I told you so. I knew that it was Ford's unit, control unit. It's the only thing that made sense because he's who was controlling Bernard in season one. It makes sense that he would do that. But I thought it was great that we got that explanation from him that he understands that if he could put himself into a body and try to be alive again, but he would just deteriorate like Delos did. So he made the smarter decision of, you know, in whatever part of this plan he has, enable for him to play this part, he has to be in the cradle serving two purposes. One is, you know, interfering with the system, which is drawing them to the Mesa. Man, it's so many layers. Drawing them to the Mesa, keeping Delos out from being able to lock out the system and all that stuff, but also being able there to have a conversation with Bernard to draw him in order to imprint himself
on
it.
It's very well
it's
contrived.
So that's why I hear you talk about them create it that way. They have to do it that way and big storybook it out. And I can't imagine the time they put in the edit with the details in this show, even just like extras that you see one time and then you see them again in another scene. And it's like,
I saw an Instagram post just today. I don't know what the date was, but you know, all the people at Kilter Films were, you know, celebrating because they just finished the finale. So, I mean, I think they just did.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I remember at the wrap party, or I'm sorry, at the premiere, which was what, April 16th. The effects guys at the party told me they were working on the bolt stuff. So they were, that's how, oh, wow. I mean, it's,
yeah,
they're, you know, it's so layered and there's so much going on that, I mean, they work almost up to the very end.
Well, props to that team.
Props to the props
yeah,
team, too.
They do a great job.
I love how almost meta that makes Ford's line when he says, I don't think God rested on the seventh day, Bernard. Yeah. I think he reveled in his creation knowing that someday it would all be destroyed. And then just thinking about all the props masters and watching all this stuff blow up. And I'm like, oh, that's so just a world within a world within a West world, man.
Nice. we do have a live chat going on. Thank you so much for everybody who's joining us in that. If you're watching it later, please comment down below your thoughts on the episode. Love all your comments on previous videos as well. Interesting comment, Michael Balsamo says, he referring to Ford, he literally is a ghost in the machine, and referring essentially how Ford mm-hmm. is kind of haunting Bernard now, mm-hmm. which is yeah. so fun, because that was my thought of like, well, if Ford, how much could he put of himself in the game, and like, how much of you, how alive are you when it's just ones and zeros essentially put into a digital device? But he feels very much him and seems okay with his.
Well, he
copy.
Seems to be more than just a hologram.
Yeah, that's yeah. what I was going to say. It's more than a ghost. And
the cognizance.
He can exert some type
although
of control over.
The Delos guy or whoever could not see him.
Right.
Yet, mm-hmm. yet Ford could pick up a weapon and fire. Yeah.
I do. Now.
You don't think?
Or was
no,
that
no,
just
you're,
a memory?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, that made
no,
me think of
he's in his head, and yeah. he can control him in some right. way, as we yeah. saw in the end, because he blacks out and controls what he does.
There's a movie that just came out called Upgraded, which is a similar concept of a computer device in you that can take over and not, which is like kind of the moment with Ford of like, here, let me do it for you, so you don't have to, which happens in that movie too
wow.
as well.
I want to see that.
Interesting.
It's so fun. But that was a cool moment of like Ford. I mean, Bernard's like, I don't want to do it. Like, close my eyes, and Ford's like, I got you.
My question is, what was going on in the control room? Could they not see Bernard? Was he there after they were all dead
yeah,
and he
was
just
weird.
Thinking about what
this
happened?
What I was thinking is because they were talking about how, you know, he's... When we saw before when he's mm-hmm. talking to Elsie and he's like, you can't hear me because I'm not here with you mm-hmm. right now. I think that was what it was he was walking through
yeah.
where he maybe was kind of out in the hallway and had seen what had happened, but this was yeah. him walking through and seeing the memories of it kind of fragmented in his mm-hmm. brain. That's why I feel like it's the only way that it would
it's
explain
possible.
Why he wasn't
yeah.
injured.
And that's
why
what I thought,
was
too, on my second
him.
Rewatch. I was looking for something, but I didn't see anything that clued to that. But it is possible, and that, I think, maybe is the only logical explanation.
Because
I'm
otherwise,
like, why,
something would interfere.
Why are they
there would
him?
Be
right.
something.
Nobody looked
like,
at
Goldberg
him,
didn't even
him.
Look at him while yeah. he's standing this close
what,
to her. So it's...
Yeah.
But what would... But then, like, how would he be there to have those memories? How
okay,
would,
but maybe it's not a memory. Maybe it's so... Near the end there, Ford and Bernard are talking, and he's talking about, like, this is no longer my story, it's your story. And when the fires burned, they got rid of 10,000 years of history, and that history was gone, and the new story was the fire. So what if it's, like, way later, and Bernard is remembering the memory, the new history of what really happened, and he's not there, but he's just thinking about this new history and like rewriting
the post-recorded tale
yeah,
that
it's
has
like
been uploaded
exactly.
to his memory somehow.
Because the timeline of events where he right away, when he gets in there, right, he shuts the system down, mm-hmm. and then upstairs they're like, oh, hey, we can get into the system.
Right.
So like,
well,
it's not
true.
It's this there. Mm-hmm. It's not like this happened yeah. way later. Like it, we saw that it happened then because they go, oh, cool, we can get in the system now. Everything's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. Right. We know that that
yeah.
is
we saw
that that's synced up, which is the first time we've had this tied directly into Dolores' storyline without it kind of intermingling and flashing back to way before, like last episode, where it was a little bit more confusing to decipher. This one, we did have two storylines, an A storyline and a B storyline, converging and kind of filling in some of the gaps for us, which
yeah,
was nice.
We saw
so,
all four storylines converge right. at the same yeah. time and intersect in different ways.
So
in
let's
kind of
jump into Dolores' storyline and kind of talk about how that fed in, because this was one that we saw two different uniforms, two different outfits, two different
costume changes, which means two different periods of time. When we have her in her Western attire, and then she's changed back into the SWAT gear and has...
Dolores?
Well, yeah, we saw Dolores leading the team, didn't we?
She didn't wear the SWAT gear.
She didn't change.
Maybe
thinking of Angela?
Yeah, thank you. I must have been thinking.
Though she takes off the vest and takes her hair out when she goes into
she
the other room.
She has a plan. I just do really quick before I move on, back on Bernard really quick. Very, very massive realization by on Bernard's part about what the park is for. Posing that question of what are the hosts? Why haven't they changed in 30 years? And I like smacked myself, went, duh, it's a test. For every test, for a science test, you have a control. And the hosts are the control. They never change. Oh my God.
Not to code the host, but to decode the guest.
It's so genius. So in them trying to replicate people, they're trying to code human consciousness,
right?
And they're using the host as a kind of a way to replicate that and to gain information, but that's the nut that they're having trouble cracking, and that's a huge theory in and of itself. I love that there's a show tackling this idea, but man, he just like casually like, come on, Bernard, think about it.
And it wraps up what William had been saying to Delos before, right, about how that was his intention,
exactly,
and then seeing how they were able to...
And it also gives us more clues as we get, you know, as we'll get back to Dolores right now, but what is inside Abernathy's head and what is in the valley? What is the weapon and what's the key? Man.
Well, and I think, Lewis, you actually have some strong feelings about kind of, or opinions about artificial intelligence. And I read some recent interviews you did about, and you talked a little bit about that. But,
yeah. I think it's pretty dangerous. I mean, I'm not alone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And, but, you know, having a few experiences with it, I don't know if I ever said this in an interview, but actually on the first episode of this season, I had some friends over at the house, and I took a picture and I loaded it to Instagram, and which goes to my Facebook as well. And one of them said, tag us on the Facebook. So I, 20 seconds later, I went, opened Facebook. There's the picture. I went to tag, and their names popped up. Do you want to? Now, I didn't even realize that Facebook had facial recognition. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. I had never experienced it, but it dawned on me just like at that moment, and I went, 20 seconds, and how many, 2 billion people or whatever they have, and it could recognize it. And then, you know, just parking at the Century City parking structure, I take the ticket, and when I was leaving, there was a woman standing up by the gate, and so I went up to put I paid for it at the little kiosk, and then I go to put it in, and before I could even put it in, it opened up. And I thought, oh, wow, it's got a chip thing or something, where it just, you know, read the... So when I got up to the gate, I just, like, kidding the woman, I said, man, I would have saved the $4 if I'd have known it was going to open up. You know, I actually thought that maybe she had opened it up. And she goes, no, it knows you paid. And I went, excuse me? She goes, look at your ticket. And it had my license number, license plate number on the ticket. So once you paid, it recognized my car, maybe just through a photo, but still it was this sense of we're walking through so many aspects of our life with artificial intelligence. And a wonderful documentary film called Do You Trust This Computer? Have any of you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
You saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it'll scare the hell out of you about what could happen with AI, and you know, AI could take over the world and not maliciously, just because it makes more sense, you know, the things that they would do. It's more logical.
It is kind of terrifying what they can do nowadays.
Totally.
But going from artificial intelligence to just some actual intelligence for your day-to-day life too, definitely recommend checking out Conversations with Maria Menounos, the founder of AfterBuzz TV. Mm-hmm. It drops every Friday on iTunes. She'll give you advice from health and wellness, career, just all that good stuff. Make your life a little bit better. So tune in every Friday, Conversations with Maria.
Go, Maria.
Now, another amazing woman that we love is Dolores.
Yes.
So we'll talk about her, this storyline, and how she's storming. She's storming the castle. She's coming in. So she literally guns blazing, is taking everybody out. We're hearing her attack via Elsie's walkie-talkie,
yeah.
which is how we're able to somehow ground exactly when this is happening as well. So we do know that this is an actual time, which makes me wonder when he was saying last episode, oh, I'm not really here with you, when was that?
That was when he was there already killing the, making the clone of Ford.
Okay, so going
that's what he yeah, so he was, yeah, which, I mean, it was maybe 2 weeks ago. It wasn't that far
right.
ago.
Right.
If you, like, it's, we feel like it's a long time ago because it was like 2 years ago from last season.
Yeah.
But remember, all that stuff happened within a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only, we pick up, I mean, the most recent timeline to this, to last season, is I think like a day or 2 days after is when we start to see people again. So it's a quick turnaround from when he was still being controlled by Ford to has his whole revelation in the end where he, you know, he shoots himself and then May brings it back and all that stuff that happens in season one.
And then now circling back to being recontrolled.
Right. Yeah. Right. But he tried so hard.
So close.
He got so
this
far.
Close,
but in
Bernard.
The end,
oh.
it didn't even matter.
Oh, yes.
Well, I really love the moment with Dolores and Lewis near the end there.
That is probably my favorite part of, not just because you're here, but...
Oh, sure.
But I think just the emotional connection in that scene was just incredible. And just the range, seeing Dolores absolutely just torn apart, seeing her father in pain, to then just that look when she turns to Hale.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like filming that scene and having this intense... pain and then cognition and going back and forth?
Working with Evan is, it's just extraordinary. She's an extraordinary actress, and we have like the scene in episode 3 where she first comes in to where Peter is at Fort Forlong, and he recognizes her. I mean, those emotional scenes, I mean, there's something that happens when we get together and do those scenes. There's a connection that's like nothing I've ever experienced, truly. And but she does have the ability to just turn that on. At the snap of a finger. I mean, it's just it is extraordinary. But both of us have kind of been called on to be able to do that this season, and well, last season too. But my scenes with her are just about my favorite scenes that I've ever done in my whole career, quite frankly. She is such a joy to work with.
It's just incredible too, watching you go from this broken robot essentially, and then seeing that moment where you then become so human. I mean, do they do anything different? Is that just you that's bringing that to life? Like,
just me, as far as I know.
Yeah, being able to see you shift personalities, just mm-hmm. your facial expressions, like watching you jump between the doctor back to Peter Abernathy, like just in the background while Evan's acting, is just like phenomenal.
Thank you for
seriously, that's, I hate cool. to be a huge nerd, but man, I loved your performance in season one. The like, I've never seen anybody impersonate what would be a robot like so. I mean, accurately for what I can imagine it would be like. So, kudos to you. Yeah, my favorite scenes with Dolores this season have been the ones with Abernathy, because mm-hmm. it's kind of the only redeeming quality about her now.
Yeah.
So it was tough to watch her. Say goodbye.
Semblance of humanity.
But my question is, does she? I mean, she says to Maeve later, like, these kins are just chains.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. That is totally what you say to yourself to not feel bad.
Especially when Maeve points out that she's justifying.
Oh, yeah. This is tied in. Junia Kurita in the chat says, Lewis and Evan are ever more wonderful tonight, and it made me cry. Beautifully acted. Aww. Amazing work. It was very hard to watch in a good way.
No.
And totally get the, that's what you have to tell yourself to be okay with it. Otherwise, she's going to be broken. Mm-hmm. Like, she can't, she has to be like, it's just a thing. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to continue on.
I'm also really glad we didn't have to see, we didn't have to see the extraction.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Abernathy had been through enough.
Yeah.
Now, those scenes.
And there, There was a time when you were gonna see.
I knew it. I knew it.
I don't think they would mind. I don't think they would mind me saying that, but it was not gonna be pretty. No. We didn't film it.
Oh, it was on the script.
It was in talks.
Yeah, it was.
I'm glad we didn't see it.
Yeah. I think it was enough.
I feel like it would have detracted some from the.
It definitely would have, and I think that it would have been horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And Evan and I talked about it when we knew that it was going to come down, and we're going to be how in the hell are we going to get through that? And then, of course, having a daughter myself, I'm glad that's not living somewhere because it was going to be really, really horrendous.
Yeah, that's not something you want to see.
Yeah.
Now, the line, though, that he says, one fire burns out, another's burning, one pain is lessened by another's anguish. Was that something that you feel was programmed in him from Ford? Do you think that that was a reflection?
Well,
what do you feel like the
Romeo
line
Romeo and
means?
Juliet, so it was just more of, the professor. And, the one thing that Peter somehow has the ability to do is throw these Shakespearean quotes out at the most appropriate times. because a lot of people have asked me about what it was like reciting Shakespeare, during my scene with Anthony Hopkins. And I didn't really think about it in those terms. I just thought about it in terms of Peter or Professor or whoever saying these words that were programmed into him that fit the moment or that were appropriate for what he wanted to say.
And we actually have a little game later on with you, too, with some of those quotes.
Oh, no. It's been a long time. Okay. But I think they're just so, powerful, really. I love those little quotes.
Love it. I love, too, that we're able to talk about this show every week and dive in with the actors from the show.
Well, you guys are kind of amazing. Now, I literally finished watching it and scooted out the door, And you've watched it twice now.
It was a struggle, but I try to watch it because it drops at 6, so.
Yeah, I honestly rarely can even put together a cohesive thought after one time.
It's hard. And also the second viewing, there's always some like little tidbit at the end that makes the second viewing like, oh!
Absolutely.
Oh! So like not watching a second, I feel like I'm doing a disservice.
Yeah, I watched the first season again before I started work on season 2 and still caught things that I had missed that were so obvious.
Yeah.
For example, when he's draining Lawrence to put the blood in Teddy when he finds him tied to the tree, after he kind of puts the blood in, he's walking away and he says, an old friend of mine told me we all have our purpose in life. I forget the exact quote, but it was what Dolores told William.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, knowing everything and watching it back, you go, why didn't we catch that? Now, everybody pretty much thought that William was Man in Black, but that would have been one of those
solidifies it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, if you guys want to go back and watch any of the after shows too, you can check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud and YouTube. So make sure that you rate, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Give us that thumbs up and then keep in touch with us. We want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you think of the show as well. Now, one of the other characters we'll kind of dive into, Maeve. Her storyline, we've touched on a little bit about when she connected with Dolores back at the Mesa. But before that, we see her basically trying to fix her loop, almost. Going back, seeing the man in black, this time not being killed, having the flashbacks of that moment, kind of taking control of everyone, trying to take control of Lawrence and seeing that he is now awake and having that sweet moment of him attacking William, but then ultimately getting gunned down and brought back by Lee. So what were your feelings on this, seeing her try to save her daughter, then ultimately seeing that same loop, her daughter getting taken away at the last minute?
It's unfortunate that like her emotional restrictions are keeping her stuck, because I'm like, you can stop all of them. You are like superpowered, yeah. But it's her but emotional.
She can't control the Ghost Nation people.
Yeah,
if she speaks, and, she had it where she spoke the language, and then it was okay.
Yeah, but she remember when she wasn't able to control the guys in the
That's
river.
That's true. Yeah,
but the inference is that it just like in Shogun World when she tried to speak to control the ninjas, and it's because she was speaking the wrong language. So yeah. The inference is that she would be able to speak Lakota to them and control them because Sizemore said that they all have. All the same languages within them. Yeah. Right. So there it's theoretic it's but also but we don't know enough about the Ghost Nation. It could be because she didn't speak the language, it could be because they're awake, like yeah. Lawrence. We don't know enough about Ghost Nation.
I don't think they want to hurt I don't know. I really don't. But I think they have a different agenda.
And I think we'll find out in the next
episode. Next episode.
See the teaser for next week, that Ecachetta. We're gonna
There's
get
something
more
backstory to Maeve's daughter.
My buddy Zahn McLaren is going to be amazing.
But before we dive into our predictions, I, in lieu of news this week, I want to just kind of have a little bit more of a one-on-one interview with you. And of course, we'll have more news for Westworld
next
week.
In lieu of news. I like that.
But yeah, we want to make sure that we can kind of focus some time and get to know more about you. Oh, well, there you go. Before we jump into that, any last thoughts on the episode?
I just really enjoyed Man in Black getting shot up. Like, he's just like, wait, this doesn't happen? And so it was so rewarding. And it wasn't like shocking, but it was like, oh, pleasant
surprise.
What
do you think is going to happen to him?
I think he's still alive.
Well, he is still alive.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but he could die.
There's that shot of him from the rear in the trailer. You know the one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Where he puts the gun to his head.
But I don't know why he would want to do that.
I don't either. Yeah.
That was they released that for the pre-episode teaser, and it wasn't in this episode at all.
It wasn't, but there are things
they'll put in the teaser that then circle back later on.
I do want to point out real quick, everybody's headed to the valley.
Mm-hmm.
As we've kind of known again, but now we know that she's going there with the control unit. We know the control unit is a key.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Dolores knows what to do with the key.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it's a key most likely to something with all the information that Daedalus has collected or some type of control replicating place or something. We don't know exactly.
Well, there's also a shot in the teaser of a whole line of hosts walking through the desert. That wasn't in this episode either.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But that speaks to what apparently is
I think that could possibly tie into some predictions a little later on. But before, because we are kind of tight on time here, I do want to have at least a couple minutes to talk about you. Just what kind of brought you to Westworld? How did the audition process go? What was that like being brought in as a cast member?
The audition process was really a lot of fun. I remember the movie very well, the original movie, and my I'm sure a lot of people have heard this story, but I was brought in to he called and said, you know, we got an audition for you for Westworld. And I'm like, is that they're doing a remake of the film? And he goes, no, it's a TV series for HBO. So obviously got pretty excited. And I was told I'd have to do three different characters. And that was exciting because I think every actor wants to show as much as they can in a room. So I went in for the first audition. I wasn't really sure if they wanted robotic movements like Yul Brynner in the first film or if they wanted them to be human. They seemed very human in the sides. And the sides, what you audition with was a version of the Dr. Ford's Peter Abernathy scene. But it was three completely different characters, completely different dialogue, but you were put through three different, you know, paces. And after the first audition, Deanna Brigidi, who was John Papsidera's associate, said, great, I want you to come back for producers, but when you come back, build in some physicality, pardon me, between the characters. And so I was kind of going, okay, like, just, and she's, you know, she was kind of like ticking her head and said, you know, some people may do that or whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, everybody's going to do that. And so I was just kind of, you know, thinking like this. And she goes, you know how when you get that spinning ball on your computer? And I went, yeah, I hate that. She goes, that's what's happening to you. And I just thought that was the most brilliant note. So
you got Beach Ball of Death.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I just went home and started thinking about how that would manifest itself in a human being. And then I came to the conclusion that he would also be trying to speak, not just move. And that's where the kind of thing came. And once I put those together, it just sort of, I went, yeah, that's it.
Were you a fan of the movie?
Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Now, how exciting was it, though? So you had your role in season one, and then we were kind of like, wait, are you back for two? How exciting was it to find out, yes, you'll be back for two? And your character's very important.
Yeah. Well, you know, after doing the pilot, and then they brought me in to do a couple of little tiny little things that you know, on camera for a few seconds. And then I did shoot a scene that was never used. One of these days I'll tell people about it if it never shows up. I hope it does. It would be nice if it does, even if I'm not around. But so then in episode 8 of last season, they brought me in and downloaded all this information. And that's when I realized, well, okay, this has a future. I gave Lisa Joy a big hug. I said, thanks for finding ways to bring, you know, keep me around. She said, you know, we got you up to a few things. But I still didn't have a clue of what that meant in season two, just that I would be back. Then it was a couple of days before Christmas. I was getting ready to go home to my hometown, Baton Rouge, to spend Christmas with my family. I got a call from my agents and my managers. Everybody's on the phone. Okay, when that happens, it's always good news because everybody likes to be part of telling good news. And like, what's up? This was December of 2016. And I was like, what's up, guys? And they're like, my agent, Greg Klein, said, so, Lewis, if you had one Christmas present, what would it be? I said, series regular on Westworld season two. Anyway, ta-da. That's how I found out. So
that's amazing.
I think I let out a pretty loud scream. and then I had to keep it secret for, three more months because, you know, they didn't release that until in March, I think it was.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was pretty
fun.
That's
so cool. Now, your character, Abernathy, we talked about when he is the doctor, has all of these amazing Shakespearean quotes, which we've seen peppered in throughout season one and season two. So we have a little game for you called Don't Quote Me on That.
Okay.
Where we've got some quotes. We'll say where they were dropped in Westworld.
Okay.
But you tell us, when is the first time that we have heard these quotes? What Shakespearean play are these quotes from?
Oh, gosh.
And who said them? We got three of them for you.
Okay.
You want to see? Okay. So, season one, several characters say, these violent delights have violent ends. Where did that quote originate?
In the show or in Shakespeare?
In Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet.
Ding, ding, ding.
And by the way, Peter is the first one to say that. He told Dolores on the porch that, which triggered her, and then she told Maeve. Yeah.
Double points. Double points. Friar Lawrence says that when he's talking about Romeo and Juliet and what will inevitably happen to them. So next one. This one was you to Ford. By most mechanical and dirty hand, I will have such revenges on you both. What they are yet, I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. That's a combination of...
I want to say King Lear, but yeah, I think it's King Lear. But it's
King Lear and combined with
John Donne
or Henry the Fourth.
Henry the Fourth. Oh, it's a combination.
It's a combination of two different quotes that are put together.
Shall have such revenge.
There are some things that
by most mechanical and dirty hand, I shall have such revenge.
And there's one quote that's also been altered.
Oh, yeah, 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 the second part,
that Dr. Ford says, the last one, so far, you're two for two. For in that sleep, what dreams may come. Ford says that to Bernard when he tells him to kill Teresa. Mm-hmm. Where did that originate?
I didn't say that.
You did not. That was from Hamlet. That was the Prince of Denmark debating suicide, but they changed it. The initial line was, for that sleep of death. What dreams may come. So,
and I'm going to wrap myself out. I actually blew one of the lines when I say, which is the, what was it, Henry IV?
Yeah.
IV. such things I will do, what they are, yet I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. I say, the things I will do, and it should be such things I will do. That has bugged me every time I see that.
Well, I promise but you, none of us ever caught that.
I know, but if I would have caught it before.
I was very upset.
Sorry, Nate.
Those Shakespeare nerds are like, whoa.
I would have had, because it's a law, it's a two shot, and I could have, like, dubbed that in. Such things.
We'll get it for the DVD.
I love it. So, everything on this show ties into everything else. At this point, we know that we're going to see a little bit more of the Ghost Nation next week.
So excited.
But before we get out of here, just some rapid-fire predictions from you guys. What do you think that we're going to find out?
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm going to... So I like the one from Sci-Fi Fan is that the woke hosts are going to be switching bodies in the Mesa to walk out as rescued guests. I like that theory as a prediction. Wow. What they're going there for.
I'm actually wondering when, or I think when we get to the Mesa, we're going to see a moment where humanity, like we're going to see who's got humanity and who doesn't. Because obviously at the end, Dolores is like, survival always trumps humanity, basically. Like, you stop caring about what's right and wrong when survival is on the table.
So what's your
point there? But I think that, like, the separation between humans and what is wrong with the host right now is that, like, with Dolores, she's lost her humanity. So I think if she gets her humanity back, all of a sudden, there's not going to be a glitch anymore.
Well, she has it a little bit towards her dad.
Yeah,
that's true. Think so.
But then she still took your...
Yeah. Yeah, she
still did it.
Cut my head open.
And all the backups are gone. So that's it.
Well, the backups are gone except for what's in that egg.
Except for what's in that one. Yeah, that's the last... But they can't just get an unsullied Abernathy because Angela blew them all up.
I don't know. There's a lot to predict. I think... Teddy's gonna bite Dolores in the ass some way. I'm not sure how. I think obviously we haven't seen the last of Maeve because we didn't see her die, so she's not dead, but I don't know if Sizemore is gonna fix her up or something. He's still there, but I feel like she needs to join forces with Ghost Nation.
Yes,
they didn't kill Maeve's daughter, they captured her.
Yeah. Right.
So
I feel like Akachetta, I feel like that's what we're going to see next week is we're going to get more of his backstory, and because we see that little bit of him seeing and him waking up in the lab, is I think he knows more than he's letting on, and so he's going to maybe try to lure her to him to use her powers to help out everybody and have Ghost Nation.
If I had to guess, and it is a guess, I'd say that that's going to be a very important character.
Well, we've been talking about the Ghost Nation for a bit, that they're on a different path, that they're probably awoken, that they're saving people in a very particular kind of way. But I'm so excited that we get more on them, because they've just kind of been on the periphery so far, not so much like their story.
And I can't wait to hear more from you guys next week about all of your thoughts. But in the meantime, where can everybody find you guys?
Guys, you can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat. If you couldn't join us live, no worries. Please comment down below your thoughts on the episode.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Alice's Adventures on Earth or on Twitter at Alice L. Ford.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can also find all of us here at AfterBuzz TV on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. Again, rate, subscribe, keep up with all of the shows here. We got lots of them. So we want you guys to be sure to join in on all the fun. Be sure to use that hashtag ABTV Westworld if you're going to tweet at us, kind of keep the conversation going. And then Lewis, where can people find more from you?
Twitter and Instagram at Lewis_Hertham, Facebook Lewis Hertham, and
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
We finally know what was in Abernathy's head.
Yeah, some big white egg thing.
Bye everybody, see you guys next week.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.